What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Mr. One More Round's Madhouse. I am Mario Kaleo, and on this episode, RJ's back. Yay! So we recorded this episode once already, and it fucking, I thought I paused it, and it deleted. So we're gonna try it again. Mainly we are going to talk, we could actually just get right into that if you want.
No, the main topic of discussion? Alright, go ahead.
I mean, it's up to you, because the last episode we kind of jumped around a little bit, and then we talked about Daredevil Season 3. So, I guess all the other random shit we talked about could be on another episode. Because now it's like we're going to force... I don't want to do that. Like, it's going to seem fake, which it will be. If we give it, like, a few days, then we could probably talk about the same shit again, and it'll feel fresh.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, right now, like, if we start talking about sports stuff, which we were talking about, we're going to have to say the same shit again.
Yeah.
And I think we only got enough... Because we... Anyway, what's good about podcasts, man? You can just kind of
keep talking.
It's all fucking random. All
right, well, I'm going to find something else to sketch for issue 5 while you do your thing.
Well, what do you mean? We're going to both
talk. We're
leading
into Daredevil, yeah.
Oh, yeah, all right, so.
I don't know what to sketch.
Oh, yeah, that's right, though. I always have to, every episode, every time RJ is on anything, we have to remind everyone... Because he is anti-social media. Well, not anti. He's just not really on it that much. So, everybody associates the stuff we do with me because I'm really the one you see a lot.
Yeah.
So, I always like to remind everybody, RJ is the co-owner of One More Round Entertainment.
Yeah.
And the co-writer, creator of our comic book, Evolution.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he's going to be on this show periodically.
Right.
So, this episode is dedicated to Daredevil Season 3.
Yeah.
And Daredevil is my favorite superhero. It used to be Batman.
Yeah.
But as I got older, Daredevil was a character I felt I could relate to more. And I think that's to say, I think a lot of people feel that way. He's a pretty relatable character.
Yeah, because...
He's not perfect by any means. I call him, like, the Rocky Balboa of superheroes, because he gets the shit kicked out of him a lot.
All the time, yeah.
And he keeps coming back, plus he's a boxer, so...
Yeah.
That. But yeah, he is my favorite superhero of all time, and I was... Very excited when Netflix announced they were going to do a series based on him. And I always thought that that character story lended itself much more to episodic storytelling as versus a movie.
Right.
Because of the fact that his day job is being a lawyer. So, like, that's interesting in and of itself. Like, Batman doesn't have a day job.
Not really.
He's just fake Bruce Wayne. That's his day job, you know, so...
Sometimes he runs a company.
Yeah, but mainly Lucius does everything, and he just goes out and fucks people up, you know, so... But, like, Daredevil actually has an interesting day job, so it does lend itself to that kind of episodic storytelling. What were you saying, though, that you're gonna...
That I looked into?
No, you said you were gonna sketch something.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what yet. Still trying to figure that out.
Oh.
But what you were saying is you got lucky as it kind of all came together recently with the Netflix Daredevil series, right? You had an R-rated platform where you could make episodic stories about...
And they go ham with the R-rating, man.
They do a very good job. I mean, I think that's kind of why it's been perfect for Netflix and the whole situation, right? I mean, that you couldn't really do it justice on any other kind of platform.
You could not have made a movie that good. Because there's just too much.
Right.
There's too much stuff that you have to get to. You gotta set up, you have to, excuse me. You have to build up Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin. You gotta build up Matt Murdock. You can't just be like, here they are. You know, like...
Isn't it the same for every comic book adaptation?
Characters are okay with just movie storytelling, like Batman, because it's so simple. His story is so simple that it's better... It's probably better as a movie, actually, than it is as... That's, I'm saying, a Batman show, because Gotham's cool, but that's doing it... They just kind of do whatever the fuck they want at this point, yeah. And it's actually good.
I'm just saying, you know, the best of Batman, in my opinion, was when they could actually draw it out, right? Like the Nolan series. Three movies that could really give you a clear understanding of him, background, and stuff like that.
I guess what I'm saying is you get that even in Batman Begins. Like, if they had just stopped making the movies, that movie would have still been a solid thing on its own.
Sure, sure. But then my favorite, and I know it's one of yours too, is the animated series that Batman had. It was just fantastic.
Dude, it's still one of the best cartoons ever.
So, exactly. Because of the way that comic books are written or created, it's hard to say, you could make a movie of a comic book character in one go, in 2 hours. It's not always going to be able to work out. I mean, you figured if you could have the entire story of a character in one or two comics... What kind of movie would that be, right? What kind of comic book would that be if you finished the story in 2 or 3 issues?
Probably lame.
Exactly. It's like most of these great comic book series have long, drawn-out stories where you've had years... Because you had to wait every month to get a comic book.
Well, the only way... Yeah.
So and years of following this particular character and learning everything about it.
The only way you could do a mini-series format is when it's a character like the Grendel or the Mask. Like, that's the only time you can really get away with that type of shit, because they're not really...
In-depth?
Yeah, you know, and actually, man, I have fucking... I have a shit ton of Grendel comics. I'm waiting. When is that movie gonna happen?
No idea.
How awesome. Like, I can't... I think that movie would be, like, so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. If they did it rated R and just...
Yeah.
Dude, it's a rich guy. The story's so warped. It's a rich guy who is out there killing... He's a rich guy serial killer. And the story centers around him. And he ends up becoming the crime boss. I think it might take place in New York. He ends up becoming, like, the boss of the underworld. Just because on flat out, they're terrified of him. Right? Like, but then his main villain is a werewolf. It's like, when you're reading the comic, you're like, what? Wait, what? And then, like, it's very out of, like, left field. But it would just be cool. I just would like... I think mainly because I like the costume. I think I just want to see that.
The costume is cool.
You know, but... anyway, yeah, like... It's definitely... A lot of these shows are coming out now. Mm-hmm. And, you know... You have the ones like Arrow. You have the ones like The Flash. You have shows that start off so strong and they kind of dip off. Arrow's swinging back up again. Flash is a little shaky. Legends of Tomorrow, that show's always a clusterfuck. I think it's supposed to be. I don't really judge that one that harshly. But the last time I think there was a superhero show that was before Arrow, before The Flash, was Smallville. I always said that Smallville and Seinfeld are my favorite shows of all time. But, that being said, Daredevil, for me, and especially because I love The Dark Knight, I love Batman Begins, even the first two Superman movies, I mean, there have been some really great comic-to-screen adaptations of stuff, right? And I think Daredevil's the best one that's ever been made of all time, because it's just... captures so much of the character right. There's really just nothing wrong with that show. Like, you watch it, and you struggle to find something you don't like about it.
So you even rate that over Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Really? Which, Come on. What are you trolling me right now?
What the fuck?
That was probably the dopest comic-to-screen adaptation when we were kids.
When we were kids? Yeah, but now the bar's way too high, bro. Like, the Nolan, it's, you know, you bring that up. The Nolan Batman movies really, like, fucked up. They changed everything.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought you could do such a serious take like that.
Right.
I mean, the movie The Dark Knight, I feel like when you watch that movie, it's like you're watching the movie Heat with Batman.
Right.
Like, it's like, that's what it feels like.
Well, I mean, if you think about, like, if you consider Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to be, like, one of the first big comic-to-movie adaptations.
I still do think it's one of the best.
It was actually dumbed down from what it was. It was made more kid-friendly. So if that was what started the machine of comic-to-movie adaptations, it makes sense. Well, it would make sense. Like, Batman, they toned it down where Joker was joking and laughing and dancing in the streets.
Yeah,
laughing,
but it giving people
money. It made it less than... Because, like, when it was a comic, it was really dark. They, like, lightened it up so that way most audiences would accept it.
Oh.
And then eventually you got tired of it, or it led to bat nipples and the bat credit card and shit like that, and it just, you know... It fizzled out with audiences. So then to go uber realistic and dark was just the change that inevitably needed to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I often think that there can be no Batman Begins without Batman and Robin.
Exactly. Or any of them.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Could you have imagined what the movie of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would have been if they would have did a strict from the comic book adaptations of what it was?
I wish they would do that on Netflix.
It would be R-rated, it would be horrible, it would be great for older people, probably, but it would have fell in this weird genre where nobody would have understood it.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay, they have all these animatronics and they made a slasher movie?
Yeah, that makes sense.
You had to, like, dumb it down. You had to make it for kids. Which was good for comic books, I'm sure, in general, because more kids would be interested in it. But then when you actually bought a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic, you were like, what the fuck is going on? They're just cutting people's heads off. Why are they all Raphael? What is going on? Like, why aren't there different colors? You know, it's not an actual adaptation. So, but I think nowadays it's coming back. I mean, you have a lot of good ones like Daredevil, which are uber realistic and great.
And, you know, it's not so much the fact that it's... You know, realistic, which it is. It's probably you can't say it's the most realistic because ultimately it's about a guy with super senses.
Right.
So there's still that little element of the fantastic to it.
Sure.
And plus it takes place in the same place as like Jessica Jones or Luke Cage, whatever. But, like I said, of all these things, to me it's just the writing. I remember being just so blown away by it. I didn't expect what we got. Like, I was excited, because like I said earlier, I was excited. Mm-hmm. So I was like, alright, cool, one of my favorite characters, maybe they'll get it right, and they're doing it as episodes and not as a movie, so they got more time,
yeah.
You know? I hoped it was going to be good. I did not expect it to be what it was. I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio's, speaking of Dark Knight, like, right there with Heath Ledger in terms of just the mannerisms, the tics, all that shit that he does. It reminds me of Heath Ledger's the way he was.
Yeah.
Because usually villains, I mean, aside from like maybe Loki, comic book villains are usually pretty forgettable.
Yeah, well, Thanos not too.
Thanos is up there. I like Michael Keaton. I thought as Vulture, but I wouldn't necessarily be like, you know, oh, that's...
I would think, like, the best ones are the ones that in some way, shape, or form you can relate to. You know, like, they are bad, but you find some sense of, okay, I've seen good people act this way. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen jealous siblings act a certain way towards their older siblings because of who they are. So you can relate to Loki.
Yeah.
You know, harder to relate to Thanos, I guess, but
some
people who believe.
It's not necessarily relating, it's the logical part of your mind says there's something to what he's saying.
Right, if you knew
knew. And it's interesting you say that because Kingpin is almost like mini Thanos. Because his idea in season one was, I'm gonna burn Hell's Kitchen and I'm gonna fucking rebuild it, right? Yeah. That was a similar idea to what Thanos is talking about, just on a much smaller scale. But when he talks about why he doesn't want to, or why he wants to do what he wants to do, a part of you is like, yeah, okay. It makes sense. Like, if your method in carrying out this idea is pretty fucking terrible, but it does make sense in a way, you know?
The means justifies the ends, right?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. The villains you relate to, the villains you love are the ones that you can, in some way, like you said, relate to them.
Sure.
Or at least understand their motivation. Because it does suck when you watch something and you're just like, why is he doing this? Bless you.
Thank you.
It sucks when you watch anything and you just don't get it. Like, I watch things and I'm like The Flash. Mm-hmm. Happens to me a lot. Like, I watch The Flash, I'm trying to stay loyal to him. Nah, I guess I don't want to be a Fairweather fan. We had a conversation on the deleted version of this where we talked about Fairweather fans and whether or not it doesn't mean shit or whatever, but anyway, yeah, Flash is very much like that, man. The characters do things and it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, right. It's very, like, it seems to me that they're not loyal to the characters they've created because the characters are literally just instruments of exposition.
Right.
It's literally like, it doesn't matter who, doesn't matter why, give everybody a turn, doesn't matter what comes out of their mouth, doesn't matter what they do, just as long as they all get a turn to speak.
Yeah.
And when you watch the show, it's like, Barry for 3 seasons has been doing one thing, now all of us, or 4 seasons, now all of a sudden, he's totally fucking different. It's shit like that makes bad writing.
Yeah.
But with a show like Daredevil, for 3 seasons straight, everything that happens makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But to that credit, they have not been doing an episode every month, or, you know.
Okay, so you think the 23-episode
format. Right, where they actually break it down, and they don't release any of it until it's all done, and it's all been reshot, or whatever, everything fixed. Because that's what it seems like to me, like, what you say with Flash. It sounds like they never thought they were going to get that far. And now they're just like, well, we got to do something. Put it together. We need it out by this date. Whereas with Netflix, they're like, well, if it's not done, it got delayed. Right, you can't do that with network television.
Yeah.
You have contracts. You have to get it out there, which means you have to rush certain things or not fully think shit through, and then you're fucked.
Yeah. Right?
There's so many cool things that I'm sure they left that they never expected to get this far, that they would have planned it differently had they thought they would have. And going back to what you were saying, another thing we talked about on the deleted side, is that there were multiple writers on Daredevil. Multiple. I'm going to say over 15 different writers.
That's interesting, because usually when there's a lot of writers, it makes it bad.
Right, it doesn't have the same flow. But in this, I mean, yeah. They had the same guy for episode 1 and 2 of season 1, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. These are the episodes were all written by different people.
Huh.
And directed by different people. It's crazy.
Yeah,
and it's hard to believe, like, how could they have put that all together,
right? So like, that's
crazy.
And to that point, I mean, I think that's why this is, for me, my favorite adaptation of anything ever made, of comic book stuff, I mean. And honestly, bro, it's tough, because I love, like, you know, you went early 90s, I mean, The Crow, I think is...
And that was
such an underrated.
That was good. One movie didn't need anything more than that. It is what it was.
And it was
fantastic.
And then,
I mean, you didn't need a number 2 Howard the Duck. That was just gold.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, there were with this one with Daredevil, like I said, we didn't really expect what we got. So the first season's really awesome. It fleshes out Wilson Fisk, Foggy, Karen, Ben Urich, who dies, which threw that surprise. Oh yeah, spoilers. Ben, that was a shock, man. I thought that was ballsy of them.
And that's something that they've been doing in the Marvel TV shows or these series is that they've been killing off good actors. Like, yeah. It seems to be a trend now with good shows.
Yeah.
They, like, kill off their best actors, and you're like, well, what are you doing? But then they come back and say, you know, we got great actors up the ass. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
like Sean Bean, don't worry about it. We have all these nobodies that are way better.
A lot of, like, what's it, Game of Thrones is like that. Walking Dead is like that, where nobody's safe. So I thought it was cool that they killed Ben Urich in season one, because he is such a huge staple of the Daredevil mythology. He's like he's just a huge part of it.
Yeah.
So by them doing that, that was them being like, whatever you think you know about this, we're gonna still throw you curveballs, which they do in season three with the priest. But
well, they did it in two.
Season two, what's the curveball in that season?
Who dies? Stick. Stick dies in season two, right?
Oh, he dies in the Defenders.
Oh, that's right. I always forget.
What's her name kills him?
The Dark.
Well, it's Elektra, yeah. But yeah.
Well, you didn't think Elektra would die so soon. You know, she
no, they no, that was the curveball. The curveball was, instead of Bullseye killing her with the Psy,
right?
It was the guy, the leader of the Hand. That right, was the curveball.
The
same way Bullseye kills her in the comics.
Yeah.
God rest Jennifer Garner's soul. So, yeah, season two got us the Punisher, best portrayal of the Punisher ever.
Yeah.
It was just really, really done so well, regardless of what you're, you know, everybody's favorites of stuff is always arbitrary, it don't mean nothing really, but, yeah. Like I said, I just think it's so fucking amazing, it's done so well, and us as writers get intimidated by this kind of shit, because it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy.
That's the bar, you know, that's incredible. Yeah.
Crazy. It's probably going to be the last one standing, too, Daredevil.
Well, I heard Disney announced every Disney thing is... they're taking it away.
From Netflix?
From Netflix.
Okay, so that might mean they can remake it.
And that's what I think is going to happen with Iron Cage and... or Iron Fist Iron and Luke Cage. Luke Fist.
Luke Fist and Iron Cage. Yeah, I get it. I would hope so. I mean, even if it was... even if you just strip them away and say, okay, maybe they weren't good enough for their own seasons, them together was a good team-up. You know, you could do Heroes for a Hire, and I... you know...
Well, me and you even came up with how you could do it.
It wouldn't be difficult, no.
Yeah, would it be him coming back from Kun Lun and finding Luke Cage as the crime... the boss of Harlem... And then they kind of fight it out, and then end up, Luke is like, oh man, you're right, Danny, let's be heroes for right. hire.
I want to be a good guy, but I need this paper. So, light bulb.
Yeah, Danny's fist glows.
But then again, it doesn't
symbolic
make any sense.
Of the light bulb moment, his fist glows. Like, we're writing it right now, look at this. This is so bad. Bad writing.
Horrible. Exactly. Why would he need to be hired? He's a millionaire, he's a billionaire. If Cage needs money, you don't think you could spot him? He bought a warehouse just to burn it down. I mean, like, he's a billionaire. Yeah. So the idea of Heroes for Hire makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
I guess I could have thought about that when they were actually comic books.
Unless Danny loses his money somehow.
He loses it all? Craps game?
That's what they did to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. I mean, that is the one thing you can always take away from rich people.
Yeah.
I guess you could.
Yeah, and even speaking of that, too, I didn't even finish Luke Cage. You told me what happened.
Really? Yeah,
I did. And I didn't finish Jessica Jones season two.
I did.
I was just bored. Like, I felt so bored. I was really bored. And it's hard, too, for me because the action of those shows is just not that interesting.
Yeah.
It's okay, but it's not that interesting. And mainly because... they're just kind of throwing people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... there's not much depth to what they can do. Although Power Man, I found was more interesting in that regard.
Well, yeah, because he could fight a dude.
Well, I mean, he could fight a
Bushwick.
I
was going to say Bushwick Bill. That's the guy from the Ghetto Boys.
Oh,
what was his name in the Bushmaster?
Bushmaster.
Oh my God, Bushwick Bill.
Bushmaster. Cotton Bushmaster Mouth, Bill. The Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you meant.
Bushmaster Bill. Hey, Bill, what the fuck's your problem? So, yeah, I mean, like I said, that's just my own thing. I was bored by it. I felt like it wasn't that interesting. But Daredevil Season 2 ends, like we said, Death of Elektra. It's still pretty damn good. Other than our little issue where we had little, pun intended, issue with Elektra, because we just kind of felt that was the unrealistic point of the show.
Yeah.
Was she's just not a big person.
Right.
She's as an actress plays Elektra fine. I mean, all the scenes of her are awesome.
Yeah.
But once you get into the action aspect of it, it's hard to buy such a lightweight, skinny person. And she's skinny, too. She's kind of, like, bony.
Yeah.
It's hard to buy that she could knock out anyone.
With one hit,
You know, yeah, and like you, I think you said in the deleted version of this, but it was a good point, that, you know, Daredevil's over here to, like, multiple hits.
Yeah.
And she's taking dudes out way too easily.
Yeah.
And and this is an issue I had with that Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, too.
I still haven't seen it.
I know you haven't. This isn't a spoiler.
Oh, I don't care.
I watched it, and Ant-Man and Ant-Man 1 was this, like, clever, skillful thief, and he was really intelligent, and all this stuff, and you were like, oh, you could buy him being Ant-Man.
Right.
In Ant-Man and the Wasp, they turned him into, like, fucking Tim Allen on Home Improvement. Like every 90s husband was always an idiot, and the wife was so much smarter than him, and all men are idiots. Like, Ant-Man and the Wasp is the 90s sitcom of the superhero movies.
Jeez, that sucks.
They turned this character who was supposedly so intelligent, so clever, into a straight-up idiot. And every time he's an idiot, it's because she's so much more awesome than him. And I was watching it thinking, that's uninteresting. What is interesting is keeping him being awesome, and she's awesome, and they're awesome together. Yeah. Instead of, why does he have to be made to be an idiot? It just, but that's what I mean. It's like,
I think it's just because it's Paul Rudd.
It's just bullshit, though. It's a stupid thing to do.
Yeah,
which shows me shitty writing.
Sure.
Once again, I'm going back to this point. It shows me that, because it's like, you're just doing it just to do it. Oh, we need somebody to be stupid, so like, they just have, because they have to make her look awesome, but why do you have to make him look bad to make her look awesome? Like, she can...
That's how it is, man.
I think it's bullshit. I
think
it's a bunch of hooey. I think it's tomfoolery.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's ballyhoo.
I don't know what ballyhoo means.
I'm referencing Good Will Hunting right now. I wonder if anyone will ever catch that.
Well, now they might, because he told them. Speaking of Netflix, we've been watching Big Mouth. That shit is hilarious.
Who told you?
You did.
You told me
to start watching it.
Dude, it's fucking great. Oh my god, man. If you guys are not watching the cartoon Big Mouth on Netflix, you're fucking up. Man, what a funny ad. Like, dude, I don't remember who showed that to me.
You told me.
Oh, man, but I... Who the hell... Oh, George. We were by Jose's house for a fight, and then after the fight, George was like, put on this show Big Mouth. And we were dying, man. Yeah. We were just watching one after another. Like, it
the
was.
The monsters are the best.
Yeah, the. What is it? The hormone monsters.
I guess I the best way you would describe it is just puberty, right? Puberty for both boys and girls on a perfectly
This shit is incredible,
life.
Man. You don't have to whisper.
Yeah,
I could
probably
say that.
Probably for that.
Oh. Oh, yeah, good call.
I mean, it's a podcast. I can't do anything.
It's a podcast.
This podcast was sponsored to you by a sativa.
My ass. So wait. Okay, now we totally went off on a fucking tangent, but that's okay. It's superheroes. It's fun. The show's about nothing and everything.
Nothing and everything.
So, Anyway, that was all a roundabout way of talking about Electro being way too small to beat the shit out of people the way was.
That's where that started from?
Yeah, that's where it came from. And I think, well, the reason I went off on that rant was because they had to make her look extra badass to overshadow Matt Murdock, you know, like, which is unnecessary. It's just an unnecessary thing to do. If you're going to want her to be beating the shit out of people, and we're going to believe it, then they should have had a chick with more stature. A woman that, just like a more believably physically dominating woman than her. She's a great actress, but you would never in your life have bought Wilson Fisk as that character if it wasn't somebody like Vincent D'Onofrio. Right. It had to be somebody big and imposing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you would never in a million years. Same with Luke Cage. Same with Luke Cage.
Have a little Luke Cage.
Yeah, like, Jessica Jones is different because she's just super strength. Right. Like, she doesn't have to be big. Danny Rand's
kind of the same. I mean, technically, he should have looked like he was in much better shape than he did when they made the show. Danny Rand.
Yeah.
Because he had supposedly been training for, like, 20 years. Right. He should have looked like Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Walked out of there, but, what are you going to do? Anyway.
Yeah, we.
He's kind of the same way. He didn't need to be super ripped because he has a magic punch.
Yeah, but he's so not he super. Do that. Does he have super? Is he stronger or anything like that?
No, it just has those powerful chi hits, which in the comic it didn't always have to be his fist. He could hit you with his head, his foot. He could charge up any part of his body.
Sorry, I'm immature. So yeah. Yeah, that was what Christopher Walken. So, yeah, what'd you think of Daredevil? He was a daring devil. Anyway, that was the only real gripe we had with season 2.
Yeah.
I don't think I had any real gripe with season 1. I don't remember.
The only gripe I had was that they showed Stone at the end and then they never mentioned him again.
Yeah, and then, and then the whole thing with Bullseye, but we're not...
Yeah, we're not going
to
rehash.
But anyway, so, gets to season 3. We're really, really fucking pumped, because Kingpin's coming back full-time. Wilson Fisk is in prison after the events of the first season.
Right?
Matt put him in jail. He's in jail. He becomes an FBI snitch to get out of prison. And he gets to go to this fucking penthouse, and little by little, he is getting the cops, the FBI, all these people under his thumb, crime lords. Like, everybody is getting under his
control.
And now at this time, we have Matt, and this is where the episode fucked up last time. We were getting to this.
Yeah.
So this is where, at the end of The Defenders, we have Matt is still alive. Okay?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Oh.
Nothing. Yeah, Matt's alive.
Wait, is she laughing at you?
No, I don't know what the fuck.
Okay.
I don't know what else he's laughing at.
Wait. It's gotta be your bulls. So Daredevil, everybody thought he's dead.
They think
he's dead devil.
Dead devil.
They think Daredevil is dead devil and he's gone.
But he's not.
He's alive devil.
He's still alive.
All right, he's alive. He's a live devil. But anyway, Matt Murdock's alive. His spoilers. His mom, who's a nun, is taking care of him at the bottom of the church he was raised in.
Spoilers again.
What the fuck?
You didn't know the nun. Nobody would have known the nun was his mom till the end.
I'm assuming whoever's actually gonna listen to this has seen the show, right. And if they haven't, I mean, I said there was gonna be spoilers.
That's true.
It's just easier than us like. Fucking going all over every little pinpoint of the show.
Okay,
his mom's taking care of him. Spoiler. Yeah. You find out the nun is actually his mom.
Spoiler.
Fucking. So. But here's why it's good writing. Right? Matt is behaving the way that you think he would behave. He just, like, legitimately, you know, he risked everything for the city. And the love of his life dies. And this is a religious guy, right? He believes in God. He's not now become an atheist. No, now he just thinks God's a prick.
Yeah.
You know, that's where he's at right now. He thinks God is just this, like, whatever. He's pissed off at him. That, to me, is like, that is what he would do. Kingpin, I thought, was interesting. Because everything he's doing, really, is about Vanessa.
Yep.
That makes him so fucking interesting, man. Like, it's so compelling.
I think it's
that this
weird.
Dude is just this big, lonely fucking polar bear. And, like, he's really just doing all this shit. Now, he's not even doing it for any other reason but to impress Vanessa. Like, he's amassing power, literally, so he could just be
it
like...
It wasn't to impress her. It was so he could be with her.
Yeah, he at first it was to be with her.
Well, even in season 3. He was doing
No, I'm saying, in season 3, at first it was just to get her to back.
Right.
He wanted to have the power to get her back to New York.
Right.
But then after that, he alludes to it more than once that, you know, he... Isn't this awesome?
Yeah.
You know, like, look at my everything we have. Like.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like where we were, like, all right, how is this going to play out? Because you do think about Vanessa. You know, he's a fucking horrible person.
But so, okay,
and
now.
Then you're like, all right, I want to be a part of your life. And she was so open to being
but that was,
a killer, too.
That was fucking awesome to
yeah,
me.
we were agreed. Like, that's better than the alternative that they could have played with.
Well, no. I was worried about while I was watching the show, because this show has never once been to me, oh, that was lame, that was cliche. I never have thought that, right? Even in season 3, we were thinking that the guardian devil moment was going to happen. We were thinking Bullseye. So this season introduced one of our Daredevil's other main arch enemies, Bullseye, who at first is an FBI agent, but then kind of falls under the wing of Kingpin.
Yeah,
and little
and the
by
way
little
he
we
does
find
it too
out.
Is fantastic.
Yeah.
The way that they convince him, because that's always hard. You have a good guy who eventually is going to end up bad, right? But the way that they did it. The way that they show that he was crazy, batshit crazy, and, you know, like, how this, he needed Kingpin in the end to kind of tell him what he was doing was okay,
yeah.
Was fine, allowed him to be the fucking monster that he was great. All of that was great. My only gripe was they just allude to the fact that he is just that good at hitting people with stuff, like throwing things. Like, it's hard to believe. That's like the hardest thing to believe. Like, they could have said something. They could have alluded to somehow
he
could do this and nobody else can't.
I mean, I think they are going... Because I think when I was here one night, I even brought this up to you guys. I said, could this be like some form of autism or a disorder? Where his brain is wired in such a way, because, you know, like an autistic person,
they're really good at certain things,
like coding or numbers or some shit like that, right? A recall, like something like it's almost seems like superhuman, right? So couldn't that maybe translate to Bullseye? Maybe it isn't a superpower. Maybe his that part of his brain is a little effed up from some disorder, but the fuck up gives him retardedly good aim.
Well, I think that's how they allude to it. Because they show him as a kid all kind of jacked up, pissed off because he killed somebody, right?
No, he killed a coach.
He killed a coach. Because
he took him out of the game.
Because he took him out of the game. And he's throwing a ball against a brick wall in the exact same spot every time. Like, it's causing the brick wall to
start warping. And he does
say
he has OCD.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there throwing... Like, that's the only thing they do to allude to, like... His psychosis is tied into his ability to have great aim. Like, I don't know. They just kind of like left it like that. Like, they didn't want to discuss it any further. They didn't want to say he was a mutant or that anything.
They never will say that.
Right. Of course they won't. But it was just. It's still like. So if you're batshit crazy, you could be good at ricocheting bullets and, you know, killing people with forks. Like, I don't understand. He killed people with, like, normal common silverware.
I
think, know how hard you'd have to throw a fork to kill somebody?
Yeah.
And how perfect the shot would have to be? Like, it was retarded. There was a scene where he was going to kill the FBI director, the woman, and he didn't have any more
bullets. Yeah, he threw, like, the bottle?
No, it was the gun.
Oh, yeah, empty gun. You're right.
He's walking backwards, not even looking at her, throws the gun like he's throwing away a piece of paper. It fucking spins and smacks her right in the face. And it's like an 8-pound gun. That woman should be dead. If you throw it and it hits her right in the fucking skull, and she's fine with her. Everything, she just got knocked out. But that should have killed her. But yeah. Again, how could you make that throw? Crazy or not? There was no fucking way. You're telling me because he's psycho he can do that?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I'm just throwing out a possible scenario because I really don't ever... Unless they just say he has enhanced abilities.
Right.
Which would be the easiest thing to say, but I think they're... I don't really know. I don't know what's the problem. I don't know why they can't just say that. That's either. A good question. I don't really know.
They just kind of left it open.
I don't have an answer, man. I can't even come up with a hypothesis about why this is such a big deal.
It's not a huge deal. It's just like...
No, I don't mean as for what... Me, I'm not saying that...
It's like OCD. You're,
I'm saying that, like, it isn't a big deal for them to just say... He's a mutant, or he has a superpower,
right.
Or because they are in a world of superpowers. Or even Daredevil has superhuman abilities,
right? Or even to just say a line of dialogue that says we believe that his psychosis is why he is so good at like they didn't even mention it. It's like nobody, it's like people are like, wow, you are a really good.
But the only one who really mentioned it is Kingpin, and he just goes, "You have quite a talent." That's like all he says.
That's it.
That's really cool what you can do there with pencils. Yeah. He doesn't fucking even like it. And then Bullseye, he doesn't even be like, oh yeah, man, like I'm a mutant.
Yeah, like,
or anything. Like, I just
surprised the fuck out of you if you were that good. Like,
yes.
That's what I mean. It's like everybody just like accepts it.
Yeah.
Nobody questions how he has this ability. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this person? But,
unless maybe it's just because they live in the Marvel universe and this type of shit is normal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy that's swinging around spider webs in the same city.
Very true. I thought it was weird that they just let it happen and they decided to never actually explain anything about it.
Maybe they will in the next season when it's more about him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the more focal point of it.
Right. And now he's going to be even better because, see now they have... Now he has a reason, spoiler again at the end, he's supposed to be dead. I mean, like, Kingpin broke him in half like a fucking...
Yeah, in the last, so when Vanessa finally comes back, they're about to get married.
Yeah.
And then all that goes to shit because Matt and... Who actually dimed him out? Oh, the dude, the... Naheem, Agent Ray Nadim. Right? He is like this... main character of season 3 who's an FBI agent who basically is trying to do the right thing and then finds out Kingpin has actually got everybody under his thumb in the FBI, or almost everybody, and then Ray, spoiler alert, ends up getting shot by Bullseye,
yeah.
Right? He gets shot in the head, which is a cool scene, actually,
because
he falls to his death in the place where he was supposed to build the pool for his son.
Right.
I thought that was really cool. Not that he died. I thought it was cool that they did something like that.
Do you still build a pool?
He's dead.
I mean...
No. It'd be a poor taste to build the pool still. Happy birthday! Swim with your dad's corpse.
Got a little girl at the bottom.
Fucking ghost. But yeah, so he was the ongoing character that ends up putting a confession on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Which Foggy and Karen... A figure is actually admissible evidence, and his confession basically takes down Kingpin. But to go back to what you said about Vanessa,
Yes. I
was worried because she kept on, like, it seemed like when she came back, something was wrong, like she didn't like what was going on,
right?
And the whole time I'm thinking, dude, first of all, that would make no fucking sense.
You know.
You were cool with this, you know? And then I was just like, that's so cliche, too. Like, oh, you know, now she's the good guy and she thinks it's fucked up.
Good, yeah.
You know? I was like, that's genius.
Yeah.
It was genius for her the whole time. She was actually uncomfortable with the fact that she's not a part of his crime syndicate. Right. Like, I thought that was so cool, man. I was like, what a great, like, just like for anyone in the audience at that point questioning, is Vanessa a good person? No, she's actually fucked up. For somehow he managed to find the one psychotic woman in all of New York to be his wife.
Right. Yeah, like, she's responsible for Ray Nadeem's
death. Yeah.
And if you think about it, because she said that, that's what made her.
I just did like an excited baby rock. I'm so like. I wish we were on video. I did. I'm like, we're talking about Vanessa, and I'm just like. But yeah, Nadeem, she orders the hit on Ray Nadeem, and fucking guy dies, but he leaves that confession, which gets found and sent to the authorities, and they arrest Kingpin, but not before. So, anyway, Matt, at this point, right, is all pissed off at God, which is, once again, great writing, because Batman, if that happened to him, he would literally just go right back to business as usual.
Yeah.
Not like old decrepit Batman in Dark Knight Rises. Like, if his girlfriend died, he'd be like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And then he'd go right back out to fighting crime. That's Batman, though. What's cool about this was this is what Matt Murdock would do. He would be like, fuck this. This is bullshit. I'm pissed off. This is, you know, he would be emotional about it.
For sure.
And I thought that was good. I thought it was good writing, and it all leads up to the bullseye murder of Father, not Father Carmine. That's a Father Carmine. That's a priest in Rocky. What's the father? Oh my God. Hello? Father.
Another Irishman. Yeah, fuck, I don't know.
What? Wow.
This is your favorite character.
I know, that's fucked up. Well,
while you think about it, I'm going to give some things that I loved about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The whole end part. I loved it when he was in the black costume. I like when he made the connection that he had to get close and he busted out the Muay Thai ropes. I thought that was awesome.
That was really cool.
That was awesome, not just for him and Bullseye, but for him and Kingpin, too. When he went at him at the end, like, that was just fucking.
That's crazy. Why he wore them.
He wore them
to be closer.
Because he needed. Remember, he was talking to himself. He's like, I gotta get in close. I can't let this guy have any space because he keeps throwing stuff. I think that that was his battle plan for Bullseye.
Oh.
I think the ropes are for defense. You know, because you're wrapping your hands in, like, something that can block.
Yeah.
You know, if he throws a fork or a knife, it might actually stop it, and he can use it as defense. But then when you get to Fisk, you're also talking about now a harder surface that would hurt more when you hit him with it.
See?
So it's pretty fucking cool.
But you see? Now, here's the benefit of, first of all, this is the benefit of doing this review with another person. But, second, see the writing?
Yeah,
they don't. That's just awesome. I didn't know that. See, RJ knows way more about martial arts and shit than I do, and that right there is such a cool. That makes me now want to go home and watch it again. Yeah. Like, just because I didn't even think of that.
The middle episodes. Yeah, he says it after the first.
I know that dad says it. He goes, "You brought out the Muay Thai rap."
I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah,
you haven't used that in a while, and he says why. He's like, "I gotta stay close. I need defense."
Damn, dude, that's too fucking cool.
Like, he mentions that this guy is really good at throwing shit, but again, he doesn't question why. He's just, I guess he's, like you said, I mean, they live in a world of super beings, I guess, why even question it?
Well, why would, I mean, I guess my thing is, why would Daredevil? I get why other people might, but this is a guy who's fought alongside legit super-powered beings.
Yeah.
So not
so much.
This is kind of just another day in the office type of thing.
And then I remember you telling me when I hadn't actually gotten through everything that, oh, there's like a scene you're going to love, kind of a callback to the comic books. And I didn't know what you meant at first. And then even when you told me what the scene was, where they're yelling at each other, I forgot that was like, that's a issue cover, right? That was like a Frank Miller issue where they're yelling at each other.
Yeah.
He's in the black mask and it's Kingpin. All right, so that was a recall to that.
You're thinking of the church scene.
Well, no, because you had told me that. That it was when they were yelling at each other. That at, like,
oh, you meant the fall episodes. Of the Kingpin, right. Yeah,
yeah, and then
it kind of happens, just not as epic,
right? No, they were just yelling at each other's faces. I remember that cover,
but there's a part where Daredevil pushes him into like a glass wall or something, and it kind of looked like that cover.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that was the only time where I was like, I wonder if that they did that on like purpose or not, you know? Well, yeah, that was as close as it got to anything like that.
True. Now I have to go back and look at it. I didn't realize it. I just thought you meant because of the fact that they said that he is a man without fear.
Oh,
that was the...
No, actually. So, yeah, Daredevil's nickname is the Man Without Fear. And in three seasons, they never said it, but when, spoiler, Father Spoiler, Father Spoiler's his name, Father Spoiler dies by Bullseye dressed as Daredevil hurls a billy club into Father Spoiler's chest. And the cool thing about that is, what really happened in the comics was, Bullseye hurled a billy club into Karen Page's chest, which, you know, Daredevil obviously blames himself for, but that was a cool twist, because we didn't see that coming.
No, you thought it was going to be Karen, because that's what happened in the comics.
And it wasn't. And then, so the Father Spoiler dies, and they have a funeral after the whole shindig goes down and Matt redeems himself and comes back and, you know, fights Kingpin and Bullseye in a three-way match that's one of the fucking most epic things that's ever happened ever.
Three-way battle royal.
I mean, they're just beating the shit out of each other, like, taking turns until Kingpin launches his ass into the wall.
Father Lantum.
Okay, Father Lantum.
Lantum.
I like Spoiler better.
Yeah, for real.
Wesley. Wesley. Oh, yeah, what? Oh, yeah. Sister Man. Oh, everybody finds out Karen killed Wesley, finally. Mm-hmm. And nobody cares. Just like I knew they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sucked. Fuck him. But, yeah, that last scene, man, where there are... Well, the Man Without Fear was a great part. Because they did it in a way that it wasn't corny.
Yeah.
They wrote it very well. Yeah, it was really cool. But, yeah, I mean, overall, dude, what'd you think of season 3?
I thought it was really good.
Where would you rank it in the three seasons?
Is it better right after part one. Yeah. Right after season one.
Season 2 is definitely the weakest, which is, it's still great.
Right.
But it's definitely the least interesting, maybe.
Right. I mean, it's a hard call. Because you do have all the great scenes with the Punisher. Like, all of the scenes in there are great. But then the rest of the side stories are not as entertaining, I guess. They're not, when you talk about, you know, Elektra and that whole situation. I don't know, but definitely good. They're all very well done.
But you know,
the second.
I love, though, you know, the scene that I was telling you that I got amped where he was yelling at him. Mm-hmm. I just, once again... That whole scene, if you watch it again, while they're fighting, and Daredevil's just kind of kicking his ass now, the music gets real sad, and it gets sad as it pans over to Vanessa, and then it pans over to Wilson, and the music's real sad while Wilson's getting the shit kicked out of him. And I was like, how fucking dope is it that they're trying to make us feel bad for them right now? Like, I thought that was so cool. Like, I was like, they're like, still trying to be like, they're human too.
Yeah.
You know, even though they're fucking psychos, they love each other, and this sucks. Yeah. She's watching her husband get mercilessly beaten to the ground right now. And I thought that was cool. I was like, that's interesting that they didn't want you to forget.
Good writing.
It's exactly. Good writing. Like, they didn't want you to forget in that moment. Those are still people, and this sucks, even though they put themselves there, but like...
But that was the whole reason all of this went down, was for them to get together, so when you finally realize it's not going to happen, I guess they try to make it sad. I don't know if anybody actually felt bad for them.
I just thought it was interesting that they wanted you to.
Right.
You know, and then the thing that I loved was the whole Matt screaming in his face, This city beat you, I beat you. Because once again, I was like, Batman wouldn't do that. Right. Batman would efficiently kick your ass and bounce. Matt is like, fuck, I beat you. Like, I thought it was, it just makes it more relatable. Because if you or I are in that scenario, and we finally defeat our enemy, our sworn enemy, whoever, the little person you can't fucking stand more than anyone.
Yeah.
You kick their ass. You're gonna have the moment of like, fuck yeah, dude, I won. Yeah. You know, so I thought that was cool because it makes him more unique in the pantheon of superheroes.
Human, yeah, I would say more realistic as a human response. Uh-oh.
It says we have 5 minutes left before it stops.
Uh-oh.
Alright, so...
I guess we've kind of covered most of it. No news about a season 4, though, right?
Not yet.
So all they have a Punisher that's done.
Punisher season 2.
Which is done.
Well, no, Punisher season 2 is coming. Eventually. Either on Netflix or on the Disney thing.
Right. But, and then Jessica Jones is done. And that's it.
Yeah.
They have not announced any more for any of them.
We shall see. It ends with Bullseye on an operating table getting a very...
Like an upgrade.
Upgrade of his spine that got broke. I broke my back. My back is broken. Spinal. Alright, guys, that's it for this. Thanks for listening. What's the thing? If your lungs are still breathing and your heart's still beating, your fight ain't over.
Hey.
Peace. Nice.